time to turn it up. Surf the radio waves as we begin to burn it up. We all up in your area like landscape. Definitely bringing you the power slamming pancakes. It's the mandate that you tune in. It's time to move out so we can move in. And recognize that this is no illusion. I'm here to clear the air so that there is no confusion. It all started off in the book of Genesis, when Jacob was wrestling with who he thought was his nemesis. And when the man saw he couldn't overpower him, he touched his hip but he really could have devoured him. And from that point then we hear a name change. Rearrange the game so now we gotta change lanes. So I'm here to let you know it's time to listen to the Pancake and Power Slam Show. Let's go!
Turn it up, turn it up. It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam Show.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam Show.
Turn it up.
Indeed, 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 it's the Pancakes and Power Slam Show. I am Chris Featherstone, representing Crave Wrestling, along with Derek, our Royal correspondent, who will be with us very soon. We're going to check some things up from this day forward. Episode 82 was the start of a new revolution in Pancakes and Power Slams. We got some more additions. We got some more people that's going to be joining the team coming here soon. So stick tuned with that. And we're just going to shift some formatting going from here forward. Please show your love, continue to show your love through iTunes, through archives, through live, definitely through calling, through tweeting, through emailing at cravewrestling@gmail.com. We're getting some emails from some people to do some cross promotion and some joint work, so I'm looking forward to that. Pancakes and Power Slams, we are here. And continue to spread the word. Tuesdays, 11 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. But once again, just continue to spread the word about Pancakes and Power Slams. And like I said, some formatting changes here coming as of today. So thank you so much for continuing to be with us and continuing to show your love through Pancakes and Power Slams. Once again, I am Chris Featherstone. And we will continue to have some fun. We got a good program tonight. Of course, we got the Raw, SmackDown, Impact Wrestling, ROH, and of course, we got the Flavor of the Week. We're going to talk about part two of which wrestlers should be in the Hall of Fame. Thumbs up or thumbs down? And going back into our thumbs up, thumbs down series, and we're going to continue to have some fun. And this time we're going to add some more names, and as far as the predictions go, typical predictions for the pre-pay-per-view, predictions of Hell in a Cell. So we're going to do more of that as well. So again, we're going to have a great time here on Pancakes and Power Slams as we start the evening, start the revolution. We're making a shift. We had some fun the past 81 episodes, but now we're going to change some things up and continue to improve for the better. It's been 81 episodes for Pancakes and Power Slams, and just very, very humbled that we've been on air for over a year and a half now. And so continue to show your love, show your support. And now we're going to let everyone know our change of formatting by bringing on our Raw correspondent, but now our Pancakes and Power Slams co-host, Mr. How are you tonight, sir?
Hey, I'm doing fine. How are you? Pancakes and Power Slams coming at you live. Let's get it going. What's on your mind? How's wrestling going for you, Chris?
Wrestling is going south. For me, I don't think that's. I'll tell you what. I don't think that I'll ever say this again, but the WWE is hurting without John Cena. And it hurts me to say that. I think I've said that in a previous show. But John Cena, as much as people don't like him, as much as people scrutinize him, myself included, he's a draw. He's been a draw. He'll continue to be a top guy, and they're giving him all these video segments and just, you know, basically fluffing him up for this match against Alberto Del Rio. And it's just been south with the way that they've booked Daniel Bryan and Randy Orton the past couple of weeks. How can you have a WWE title that's vacant for as long as it's been? There's no tournament. There's no nothing. It's just a beat-down, redundant-style, you know, feud with the two. They just really, really sour with what could have been very good, and now Cena to the rescue.
Yeah, exactly. Cena to the rescue. Doggone it. I hate to say that, too. But the thing about it, with putting Triple H in charge, like they are with the storyline, is just it's boring. I love Triple H as a competitor, as a wrestler. I grew up with Triple H. But everyone remembers the Stephanie McMahon-Helmsley era back in 2000, 2001. Just, it didn't work out. It's not working now. I don't know if they're trying to go back to old stuff or if they're on their last gasp. I hate to see or to say John Cena is a draw because I'm not a huge John Cena fan, never have been, but things are more interesting when he's around. He brings up charisma, brings up character. It's sad. I like Daniel Bryan a lot. I like what happened on Raw with Daniel Bryan, Shawn Michaels at the end of Raw. I don't want to bring it up now, but it really just seems it's last gasp. I mean, Triple H, if he's not wrestling, he doesn't add much of value yet to WWE programming. It just doesn't make much sense to me, and I want to figure out what everyone else thinks. 347-884-8452. Let's bring this up for discussion. Triple H, he's a legend in the WWE, but is he better as a wrestler? Has what he's doing? I don't think so. What he's doing now is anything great. But as a wrestler, bar none, I love Triple H. But let's keep it going, Chris. What do you got next for us?
Again, 347-884-8452 is the number to call live. I don't think that what Triple H is doing right now is, quote, best for business. So let's get on to Raw here. We got Triple H and Stephanie McMahon in ring promo. Then Big Show comes out. Well, he appears via satellite to a unknown place, and he talks to them and argues. And Steph takes him off the Titantron. And I mean, they're still adding Big Show in the fray here. I really don't know if ultimately this will be as interesting as they want it to be. It looks like we're going to see an eventual Big Show and Triple H match. Now, is that going to be at the Rumble? Is this going to stretch all the way to WrestleMania? I sure hope not. But eventually we'll see that. I really feel like we're going to do that. It's been rumored, we report on WrestlingInc.com, that we might see the next feud be a WWE Championship feud between Big Show and Randy Orton. I hope that definitely does not come that. I really hope that the next feud with Randy Orton, if Randy Orton wins, we'll go to the predictions here a little later, but if Randy Orton wins, I really hope that we don't see Big Show and Randy Orton. That would just be, if you talk about best for business, that would be worse than Daniel Bryan and Randy Orton.
I mean, I'm sick of Randy Orton. I think a lot of people are. There's just nothing that he really contributes much anymore. Even back in the day, he used to spit in people's faces. I thought that was kind of a turnoff. And just, he came in on a sour note, always Bob Orton's son, but he's nothing exciting. Nothing, and I'm tired of him. I'm bored with him. No, he's not the face of the WWE. I know it, you know it. Triple H knows it. They're just trying to really skin the cat as much as they can to make a pepperoni pizza. It's nothing to... Randy Orton is boring. He's boring. So much. I just think Daniel Bryan can just really over-trump him. And even to bring in the Big Show with that, I'm glad to see the Big Show come back. I like the Big Show, even with his crybaby phase that he had. I mean, disagree with me. 347-884-8452. Chris and I are on top of this. We are on top of this. We know what's going on with the WWE. We're sick of it. We want something better to happen. But I love to see the Big Show come out, do his thing, just to pop out. And Randy Orton, he's the Viper. He's also nobody that I could ever see getting behind. Come on, WWE, we're bored with it. Let's move on and do something better.
Yeah, I definitely hope that the Big Show is. I'm okay with this show. The sappy show I've mentioned on previous shows, it was horrible, absolutely horrible. Had no place, and I even wrote an article on the Bleacher Report on why must the Big Show be so sappy. And I chronicled a few times where he was just sappy. I mean, the Boss Man angle, sappy. He had a moment with Alberto Del Rio, sappy. Just the moments that he had with Triple H, sappy. I mean, come on. I mean, you've got a 7 foot tall. I mean, his fist is as big as my head, and I've got a big head. And the
Big
Show, I do have a big head. You didn't have the cosign, but I have a big head though. And the and the Big Show's hand is bigger than my big head. A big head and a very I have a big head, but I have a very appealing face, and all the ladies, whatever mind. Anyways, the Big Show, his hand is big, and it's like a frying pan big, and he will intimidate anybody backstage, but he's the same guy who cries based on the fact that the McMahons and the Helmsleys are paying for his mortgage, so to speak, and he's on rough time. Come on. Give me better booking than that, WWE. It sucks. And it needs to change, and it needs to change fast. And I'm glad that the Big Show is starting to become more sinister, so to speak, more brutal, more aggressive. That's the type of – if you want to keep him babyface, I'm cool with that. But at the same time, the aggressive Big Show is what we need to see, period. Now, you know, the whole Titantron thing he did yesterday, okay, we'll talk about what he did at the end, and I have a little bit better opinions towards that. But the whole Titantron thing appears via satellite. What is it setting up to? It seems like there's a match in between. They're trying to groom Big Show to be kind of I don't even think he's going to be a top face, but just somewhere to put him. And he's like early 40s, 42, I believe he is now, 41, 42. And I suppose that this is a good spot to put him since he's been wrestling for so long. But at the same time, do not put him in the WWE title picture. I just will not be okay with that. An eventual match with Triple H, maybe Ryback branches off of Paul Heyman, which is a failed project. I would even be okay with if Ryback stays heel. I'll be okay with Ryback versus the Big Show. I'll be okay with that. Even Roman Reigns versus the Big Show. I'll be okay with that. But in the WWE title picture, I'm not too sure about that. I think you don't have to. I'm just not going to agree with that. I'm not going to agree with Big Show being a top face. We got a comment here on the chat room that says you have to think with Sheamus and Cena out, others out as well. There was really nothing for the Big Show to do. I understand that, but at the same time, Sheamus and Cena are still. Well, maybe not Cena, but because Cena is one of those people who I don't think has to hold a world title to be relevant. There's only a few of those that is at that status, that are at that status now. Undertaker is definitely one of those people who do not have to hold a title even before he retired, even before he became a part-timer. He didn't really have to hold a title to be relevant. And in a lot of cases, it was even better for Taker not to hold a title because it helped his mystique. Cena's one of those people now. He didn't have to hold a title. He can have a good feud. He can put someone over. But Sheamus, on the other hand, not so much. Sheamus, he's kind of a non-factor, to be honest with you, face or heel. It's kind of like out of sight, out of mind with Sheamus. But at the same time, well, he'll get back in the fold when he comes back. Most likely he'll be returning at the Royal Rumble. Where do you put him? You know, who knows? But maybe Sheamus turns heel and feuds with Big Show eventually. I wouldn't be opposed to that. Got another question here. With Punk pulling out of his feud with Heyman, who do you see Punk feuding with? And proposal is a Big Show. I definitely don't want to see Punk and Big Show. I think that would be an awful rehash of a feud. It kind of worked when Big Show was feuding with Straight Edge Society a few years back. I think it was, 2011 or so when Straight Edge Society was around, maybe 2010. And that feud was decent. It was a nice twist for CM Punk. I believe they even had a match at SummerSlam against each other. I think it was either a handicap match they had or something to that nature at SummerSlam 2010 or 2011, if I'm not mistaken. It was a decent feud just because CM Punk was because 2010 was a 3-on-1 handicap match. CM Punk, Joey Mercury, and Luke Gallows went against the Big Show. And a Big Show won, and that was back in 2010. So 2010 is when the Straight Edge Society was feuding with Big Show. That was okay, but now, and they even kind of brought it back a little bit last year when the Big Show went with Laurinaitis, and then he was kind of feuding with CM Punk and John Cena. I don't think Punk and Big Show would go. If I had one person to choose with Punk to feud against, honestly, I think the mid card needs some resurgence, and I don't see nothing wrong at all with Punk feuding with Dean Ambrose. I think that would be a fantastic way to put Dean Ambrose back in the fray, because he really doesn't defend the U.S. title, and that would be a good way to put the mid-card back into relevance again. CM Punk, Dean Ambrose, U.S. title, that'll fly. What do you think, Derek?
Yeah, that'll definitely fly. I was waiting for someone to say something intelligent tonight. And, I mean, Dean Ambrose, his match last night was absolutely excellent. And the Shield's been kind of stale lately. I mean, they're kind of gaining a little bit of light. I mean, I'm glad that the Team Rhodes was able to defeat them last week. But again, that brings attention to the Shield. The Shield have been totally stale, haven't put any of their titles up. Dean Ambrose can definitely, I believe, he can totally rock the U.S. title. And he hasn't really been given the chance to do that. And last night really showed a resurgence in his abilities when he was against Daniel Bryan. I mean, that was just an absolute match. And, he tapped, but, it doesn't really matter because he can make someone look good. And I'm just so happy. I mean, I kind of want him to break away from the Shield for a bit, maybe just to see, or just a resurgence of the Shield and just really make them the power that they can be. And lately they've been doing that. I mean, you've been seeing a lot more attention drawn to them, a lot more angles as far as what they can do. And I honestly want to agree with what you said about the Big Show. I mean, he's got really nobody to really go against. That's not going to just be a repeat match of something that happened 1, 2, 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Cry baby. We don't want to see that anymore. So let's just keep, I love to see the senile, mad, upset Big Show. That's the way he should be. I mean, that the size of him, I mean, it's a disgrace to see him cry and whimper. I'm tired of that. We've been tired of that a few weeks now. I love to see the Big Show as this big hulking monster that's upset. Keep that going. But again, who is he really going to go against that's going to make it worthwhile for the Big Show? And as far as you said about The Undertaker really not needing a title, I totally agree. He doesn't need a title. There's been a few other wrestlers back in the past that don't really need a title to be relevant, plus just possibly Roddy Piper. A few names to go along with that, but I totally agree
DiBiase.
With everything you said about that. So.
Yeah, DiBiase is another one. Yeah, there's a DiBiase. Few. There's a Yeah, there's a few that falls in there that doesn't need a title to be relevant. But as far as, you know, as far as the Big Show is concerned, hopefully. But you're right though. Bryan and Ambrose was a very good match, and they've had matches before. And Daniel Bryan and Seth Rollins had some really good matches too. I remember one on SmackDown that was just absolutely fantastic, and. It's just that it's the ROH indie style, I guess, mentality, the kind of aura that they have, especially Daniel Bryan and Seth Rollins. And I mean, they both come from ROH, and so they have that type of crowd reacting spots. They know where to put their spots, and they do it very, very well. They calculate their spots very, very, very well. I mean, they do it exceptionally well, and that's what makes them a cut above the rest. That's what makes them some of the best wrestlers that we see on the WWE, because they know where to pick their spots, and they do it. They do it to garner a reaction, and they do it, and it works almost every time. And so, Bryan and Ambrose was good. And so we have the possibility to see a good CM Punk and Dean Ambrose feud as well. We should. I mean, I don't see why we should not see something that's not CM Punk and Dean Ambrose. The only thing that you could do is to, you know, if you want to stretch out this Paul Heyman feud, this Paul Heyman angle more. I mean, what do you do next? Do you put someone else in Paul Heyman's clique? No, because Curtis Axel has proven to be a flop. Axel is just, I don't have any confidence in Curtis Axel. The guy has uber talent, but no charisma. And when you're with, and here's the bad thing. When you're with one of the best minds, one of the best managers, one of the best mic workers in pro wrestling history, and you can't even get over then, and you have the Intercontinental Championship, and you can't even get over then, that's a huge problem. And I don't blame anybody but Curtis Axel, because Heyman's tried his best to be a mouthpiece for Curtis Axel, and he still does not get over, period. And got to mention in the chat room here about the promo that Heyman cut. That was absolutely fantastic. When Renee Young, they interrupted and came in Renee Young, and it was well. I mean, and that goes to show how irrelevant and not over Curtis Axel is. They're just thrusting him, you know, in our faces, in our. They want him to be relevant. They're thrusting him at us, but it's just not working. I mean, we need to see something different. We need to, first of all, I usually don't do this early. I usually don't give these predictions early, but we're going to get to the Hell in a Cell predictions here at the end of the show. But there's no way that Curtis Axel should walk out on Sunday as the Intercontinental Champion. That would be absolutely a bad, bad, bad move. And I don't know what the mid-card creative has against black wrestlers, but interestingly enough, This is the third straight pay-per-view that Curtis Axel has wrestled a black man, and as a, you know, I can say those things because I'm black, and so I don't know. It's weird. It's interesting. You know, a couple months ago it was Kofi Kingston. Last month it was R-Truth. This month is Biggie Langston. You know, next month Ahmed Johnson's going to come back, and he's going to fight him. The month after that, it'll be Stevie Ray. And so we'll just have a string of black people, black wrestlers that come and lose against Curtis Axel. And then ultimately, at WrestleMania, guess who's going to come back and defeat Curtis Axel?
Junkyard Dog.
Yes! Junkyard Dog from the grave. No, it'll be someone like SD. It'll be Tony Atlas. That's who it's going to be. Tony Atlas. Tony Atlas will come back. He'll have his moment. He'll have his moment, and finally a WrestleMania moment. Tony Atlas will be back WrestleMania 30, and he will defeat Curtis Axel for the Intercontinental Championship. But the point is, Axel's irrelevant. When he loses the title, maybe a face turn, maybe, I don't know. But we, the WWE as a whole, from the hundreds and hundreds of responses that I've seen on articles, especially my articles, people don't care about Curtis Axel. I wrote an article about the irrelevancy of Curtis Axel, and it still rings true. And I did that like a month or two ago. I don't think that we'll see anything interesting coming out of Curtis Axel anytime soon.
Well, no, you won't, because everyone's tired of Paul Heyman. I'm sick of him. There's nothing.
I'm not tired of Paul Heyman. Chat room, let us know. Are you tired of Paul Heyman? Call in live, 347-884-8452. Are you tired of Paul Heyman? And Derek is. Me, absolutely not.
Yeah, there's nothing left to him. I mean, what else can he do? You hate Curtis Axel. I hate Curtis Axel. He's boring. Well, what else can he do with Paul Heyman? I mean, they tried to bring him back during the Alliance in the early 2000s. Jim Ross couldn't stand the guy. Nobody can stand the guy. He doesn't do anything for us. He doesn't do anything for anybody. Paul Heyman just needs to be shoved under a rock and forgotten about. And it's too bad you can't, because he's drilled on our minds now. So, I mean, you almost expect to see him on Monday Night Raw. I like CM Punk and him. There's nothing more they can do with it. I mean, there's just nothing more they can do with Paul Heyman. He's an afterthought. He's a belch in the air. We're tired of hearing about him. We're tired of seeing him. What else can they do with Paul Heyman? Our Big Show, is he going to be a Paul Heyman guy here soon? Probably. Maybe even Triple H. It's disgusting. Paul Heyman needs to go. And who else do they need to bring back? I'm a huge fan of Jim Cornette. Let's bir Jim Cornette in. See
Cornette.
If he can stir a pot a little more. Cornette. Jim Cornette. Bring him back in to feud with Paul E. Dangerously. Let's do that. Let's bring them back and have them feud and see how interesting it gets. Cause
is this 89 again? Is this the Battle of Paul the Midnight
Heyman.
Express versus the original
no.
Midnight Express? Bring back
Paul
Condry.
Heyman by himself
bring
can't do
Rose.
Anything. He's done.
Oh, no way. No
Jim
way.
Cornette.
If you bring back Cornette, I want Dennis Condrey. I want Sweet Stan Lane. I want Bobby Eaton. Our thoughts and our prayers with beautiful Bobby Eaton. But
that's
no.
your problem. Yeah,
bring
keep
back
your Condrey and
bring
not
going to
work. Not today.
No, I. Cornette does not. Cornette will not ever step foot in a WWE ring again, and I don't
and
even
that's
know.
A shame.
I don't even know if Jim Cornette will make the WWE Hall of Fame. Paul Heyman would make the Hall
Should
of Fame
be.
Years before Jim Cornette will. And I'll admit,
and Cornette, that's a travesty.
Cornette has a great. He has fantastic mic work as well. I follow Cornette for. You know, many years. I seen Cornette when he was, you know, when he had Big Bubba Rogers with him. I seen Cornette when he was with the original McKnight Express. I saw him when he was with the newer version, the revised McKnight Express with Stan Lane and Bobby Eaton. And I saw Cornette in the Smoky Mountain days when he was over that promotion. He's a great mind for the business, but at the same time, Cornette is too old school. That's why Smoky Mountain didn't last for long. That's why his tenure as, you know, a mind for the WWE when he was with when he was doing some work in Ohio Valley Wrestling. And that's the reason why, you know, his mind at TNA didn't last long. That's the reason why his mind in ROH didn't last long. He's too old school. He's too traditional. He's not creative enough, and he needs to stay back in 1993 and never.
And that's why Paul Heyman's so interesting.
And obviously Cornette has not left 1993. I think he's stuck in his Smoky Mountain days. He's waiting for a dirty white boy, Tony Anthony versus Jake the Snake Roberts rubber match for the Smoky Mountain Heavyweight Championship. I think that's what Cornette is still waiting for. He's still waiting for that moment. Cornette will never get that moment, and it's sad that we will.
And he's
definitely
waiting for Tony Atlas to wrestle Curtis Axel.
Yes, that's exactly what Cornette is waiting for. He's waiting for Tony Atlas to wrestle Curtis Axel so he can come out and say, "Hey, I had my hand all over that," and people will say, "Oh, what? Okay, well, leave." And
okay,
Heyman's
well,
better.
Paul Heyman.
Heyman's a much better mind than Cornette, and I don't really think that there's any doubt to that. But let's go for it. CM Punk promo, speaking of CM Punk, he had a promo on stage, I guess, to hype the match between him and Ryback. I mean, you know, I'm not interested. I'm not interested with this feud here. I'm not interested with the CM Punk-Ryback match. We had the same Hell in a Cell match last year. The belt was on the line, and the roles were reversed, but it's the same match. CM Punk-Ryback, Hell in a Cell. This is not going to be any different, and it's just this feud, CM Punk and Paul Heyman, it's overstayed its welcome. It has to go. We have to see CM Punk get out of this feud. I wouldn't even want him to be in the title picture right now because he had it for 434 days, and he can last another few months without being in the title picture. But we need to see something. We need to see something away from this Paul Heyman thing because they've overstretched it. I mean, the balloon has popped, and nobody's – I'll speak for myself. I'm not interested with CM Punk and Paul Heyman anymore. CM Punk needs to get far away from anything related to Paul Heyman guys because I'm bored.
Yeah, I'm bored too. I mean, exactly. Like I was saying earlier, Paul Heyman's garbage.
It's
other
not Paul
that,
Heyman's
it,
fault.
It's boring to see CM Punk and Heyman keep going at it. I mean, get over it already. Paul Heyman's with the WWE. You got your Paul Heyman guys, but it's not – CM Punk just needs to get over it and be done with it. But who else is there that CM Punk can really feud with? He still has a vendetta against Paul Heyman, so – I mean, they're just going to keep it alive. I don't know what else. I mean, CM Punk, he's the Undertaker. He's faced Ryback, won. He's won against a lot of people. What are they going to do? They should put him against John Cena again once Cena comes back and see what comes out of that. I think that could be a good revival angle. So what's going to come out of that if that ever happens?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it was a good feud. I mean, I'm not going to hate on Punk and Cena because Punk and Cena is probably one of the best feuds that the WWE has seen in the past few years. Let's get into trivia. We haven't had a trivia question today. Who managed Lex Luger during his first WCW World Heavyweight Championship run? Chat room, call in live, 347-884-8452, or tweet at Crave Wrestling. Once again, the question is, who managed Lex Luger during his first WCW World Heavyweight Championship run? We already got a We already got a answer in the chat room that is incorrect. Who managed Lex Luger during his first WCW World Heavyweight Championship run? All right, let's go to Santino in an Elvis costume against Heath Slater. Santino is a comedy act. That's what he should be. He'll stay there, and I'm cool with it. He still gets pops. People like Santino. His alliance with Kali and Hornswoggle you can keep. However, he's over. He's a good. It was a good. I guess Santino was placed in the WWE right now is just. He will continue to be the comedy relief babyface, and I'm cool with it. I'm sure he is too. But his alliance with Hornswoggle and his alliance with Hornswoggle and the Great Khali, you can keep. Otherwise, 3MB is last year's news, and they were barely on the news then.
3MB is a disgrace. They're horrible. I mean, there's nothing about it. They are absolutely horrible. They are, you can't get behind them on Raw. You can't get behind them, period. I mean, there's no reason to. And to put Santina as the comedy act, yeah, I get it. I understand it. I mean, sorry for him. He'll never see title status. Probably not. I don't want to say he never will, but anything can happen. Anything can happen in the WWE. But I honestly don't think that, yeah, it was a match. I kind of walked away from it, so it, you know. I like Santino. I appreciate the Cobra and the Viper and all that good stuff, but it's comedy relief, so it's not really anything to talk too much about.
Yeah, I agree. Randy Orton defeats Dolph Ziggler. I mean, yeah, I understand that they're pumping Orton for Hell in a Cell, but man, has Ziggler fallen. I mean, I understand that they put him in the doghouse based on an interview that he had before SummerSlam, but jeez, that was SummerSlam. That was 2.5 months ago. And, I mean, he was, you know, he had a little bit of a moment when he was feuding with Ambrose for the U.S. title, but yikes. Ziggler is just, he's starting to be a resident jobber, and I don't like it. People were on board with him being a face. I wasn't at first, and eventually I was, but I don't know. I mean, they might have to turn him again and kind of count their losses with Ziggler, because this guy, he is an afterthought, and it's sad because I think he has a ton of potential. When he was a heel, I shouted from the rooftop, and I'm not going to rescind what I said. He's not a draw. He's not a top draw, and I don't think so at all. I mean, when he won the title, I understand that he was injured. But it didn't have that type of feel as if Randy Orton or John Cena or CM Punk would have won the World Heavyweight Championship and would have been out for over a month. People would have been like, oh, man, you know, the World Heavyweight Championship picture is a bit different. But when Ziggler was gone, when he was injured, when he was champ, it wasn't that important. He's not a top draw. Can he be built into a top draw eventually? Possibly. I think this whole thing with him turning face, you know, I kind of make it similar to Shawn Michaels back in 93, 94, 95, you know, time. However, I don't know. I think that Dolph Ziggler needs to be groomed a lot more. And he had a chance as a face, but I'm not very interested anymore. And obviously the WWE is not either.
WWE's not interested. Neither am I, neither are you. And it's too bad, because I really see Ziggler as being somebody, like a mid-carder that could really do something. Like an old-school Intercontinental Champion, maybe. Not going to happen anymore, because obviously Curtis Axel's taken that and made it into a total toilet bowl. Yeah. So, again, against Orton, everyone's sick of Orton. I'm tired of him. Nobody believes in him. No one can get behind him. But with your thing about Dolph Ziggler, I totally agree with that. He could be better. He should be better. But they just job him. They job him. They job him. They job him. It's nothing new. Dolph Ziggler deserves better. I mean, I remember when Ziggler was, you know, almost mid-card status. And you still have a little bit of heat behind him with Money in the Bank when he had it and everything. So they just totally misuse him. But they're going to keep him, and I think there's something still that they're going to squeeze out of him that's going to make a difference in the future, I hope, for Ziggler's sake and for the WWE's sake. But last night's performance was totally lackluster and disgusting. So.
Yeah. Let us know your thoughts, 347-884-8452. Let me address a couple tweets here. Got it. First tweet says, you say WWE is hurting without John Cena. How long do you think WWE waits until they build the next franchise guy? That's a fantastic question.
Fantastic.
And, yeah, and aye. Cena's going to be the guy. Cena's going to be the guy until he retires. Unfortunate for me, but Cena's going to be the guy. He's 36 now. He'll be the guy for probably another, I'll give him 40.
Five more years.
5 years?
Yep.
That would, you know, 40 would be 4 more years from now. You know, I still think that Cena would be the guy. You know, I say 4, you say 5. I think that's a fair compromise there. So yeah, I mean, 4 to 5 years, and who's the next guy? I'm not going to say CM Punk, because CM Punk keeps touting that he won't be around for long. Daniel Bryan possibly, but you know, to be honest with you, I'm a big Daniel Bryan fan, but how long are those yes chants going to fly? I mean, to be honest with you, it hurts me to say this, but they're getting a bit stale. The yes chants are getting a bit stale, and it's making Daniel Bryan seem one-dimensional. This was a lot better than his initial world title run when he turned heel, because he really didn't have much of an identity. However, these yes chants, although people are still doing it and people still like the yes chances, I keep thinking, like, what's next? Put some more layers on Daniel Bryan. The yes chants were one-dimensional, and I'm starting to get a little bit agitated by the yes chants, and we need a little bit more identity other than the yes. And I think even Daniel Bryan has said in an interview before that he wasn't really an advocate of the yes chants. I think, you know, they started it when he was a heel. You know, when he was a face and he turned heel, he went to the whole no thing. Then, you know, when he was with Kane, you know, he was not really saying yes as much, which helped him. But now Daniel Bryan's whole character is revolved around the yes chants, and it's just not. And we got a comment in the chat room, and it's true. It said yes chants appeared in an ROH match long ago. I'm definitely aware of that. But at the same time, Daniel Bryan's character is just revolved around the yes chants, and it's starting to get a bit redundant, and it's not top guy WWE style thing. Does this elicit a heel turn? I don't think so, because I think that If WWE creative really want to challenge themselves, which is an oxymoron in many cases, they need to keep him face, but they need to put more layers on Daniel Bryan. Can he be the future? Possibly. What I'm hoping is that they will give Dolph Ziggler some love. I hope, you know, like I said, he has the opportunity to be like Shawn Michaels. And if they really hone Dolph Ziggler, Ziggler would be my choice to be the future 5 years from now. He's only 33. So, you know, 38, 39, you know, he has an opportunity to really groom himself, you know, to be a really, really popular, a really, really top guy in the future. But next 4 or 5 years, you know, seen as the guy. But the next guy, the next franchise guy, I can say Dolph. If I had to pick someone, I can say Dolph Ziggler.
I say no way. There's no way. For Ziggler or for Daniel Bryan. You had Stone Cold Steve Austin. You still hear the what chants. You still, yes, will not prevail. There's no way. We don't have not yet to see the next WWE superstars want to take WWE to the masses. It hasn't happened yet. Cena hasn't taken them to the masses, I don't believe. And with the yes chance, with the John Cena, nothing. You have not yet seen anything that has been anywhere near the Rock, Stone Cold Steve Austin, or the Shawn Michaels that you just mentioned.
I don't think we'll ever get there. Do you honestly think?
Probably won't.
Chat room,
we never will.
Yeah,
never
chat room,
will get to that.
Tweet at Crave Wrestling, chat room, call in. I mean, do you think that we'll ever get to – well, let me ask you this. What's the cutoff of the – when wrestling was just, like you said, reached the masses, so to speak, what was the cutoff year for that?
2001.
Yeah. I can reason with that. And what's so interesting about that is that Cena debuted in 2002. You just said 2001. That's very interesting. Let us know in the chat room. Let us know. Tweet at Crave Wrestling. Call in live 347-884-8452. What was the cutoff point for the wrestling to reach, you know, the masses? And it's so funny that, you know, I think it was, 2002 when it became it was 2002 when it became WWE, and I also think it was 2002 when it became a publicly traded company. And so they had to tone it down, I understand all that, but let us know. What was the cutoff point for that appeal, that mass appeal? But let me ask you this, Derek. If there was one person in the company now that you could groom to be the next guy, who would it be and why?
Fandango. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh,
it wouldn't be Fandango, but you'd have to say almost Daniel Bryan. But I don't believe that in my heart, and that's a quick question to answer. So that was unfair, Chris.
Yeah, we know. Life is unfair at times.
Yeah,
next
it's
question.
Doggone.
Next question we have on our Twitter here. It's what are the thoughts of the Rhodes getting the tag title shots before the number one contender, Usos?
Usos
well,
suck,
I,
that's why.
No, I don't agree.
Yes,
I like the Usos
they,
a lot.
I don't like them.
I like the Usos a lot.
That was awesome.
Yes, I agree. My answer to that would be because the Rhodes brothers are much more of a hot ticket right now than the Usos. But I like the Usos a lot. I like their pure wrestling ability. I like their legacy. I like their heritage. They're bringing that out, and they're really fluid wrestlers. I'll tell you what, the Usos are one of the best fluid tag teams as far as their wrestling ability, just seamless in the ring. I really like the wrestling style and ability of the Usos. And and what bugs me so much, they've been in, I think they debuted in 2009, as far as WWE TV. In the past 3 or 4 years, they have not won one single tag team title. And
because they suck.
No, I don't agree. I think that they're – but the thing is, the WWE found them important enough to become number one contenders for many, many different times. I mean, it was the Hart Dynasty, they were number one contenders. On SmackDown, they became number one contenders a couple of years ago. They were just that now they're number one contenders. They've had that moment, so to speak, many times, but they just fall short every time. I think eventually we'll see them as world tag team champions, but it doesn't seem like they're having it soon. Unfortunately, because I like the Usos. The correct answer to the trivia question, which I saw a ton of answers, incorrect answers, Harley Race. Harley Race was the manager during Lex Luger's first WCW World Heavyweight Championship run. Double turn with Barry Windham and Lex Luger when Lex Luger won his first WCW championship. It was the double turn. And
who could forget?
Harley Race. What's that?
Who could forget?
Yeah, well, obviously a lot of people who incorrectly answered. Yeah.
347-884-8452.
Yes, 347-884-8452. Let us know your thoughts. Who did Ric Flair defeat for the WCW World Heavyweight Championship at Starrcade 93? Who did Ric Flair defeat for the WCW World Heavyweight Championship at Starrcade 83? Let's get back here to Raw. The Bella Twins defeat AJ and Tamina Snuka. I don't have anything to say about that.
Yeah, I don't either. It's a Divas match. Who cares?
Yeah, well, you know, yeah. Yes, I think the Divas division has the opportunity to be good. Natalya should be that person in that spot right now. I don't think Brie Bella is a good choice. They were heels. They've been known as being like really cocky, egotistical heels, and all of a sudden they just threw them as faces. That's about it. Rowan and Harper defeats The Miz and Kofi Kingston. I don't see The Miz or Kofi Kingston getting anything out of this feud with the Wyatts. Kofi Kingston, you know, he lost against Bray Wyatt. I don't see, you know, he's basically a spot filler right now. And The Miz, they're just throwing something with him too. He's not very relevant either. So, unfortunately, The Miz and Kofi Kingston are two of the worst positions right now for, you know, I guess popular WWE superstars. The Miz and Kofi Kingston are in a bad spot right now.
They are, and that sucks. Because The Miz could be somebody, like I've said before, he could be a future, like a Chris Jericho almost. I mean, he's somebody that can make anybody look good. He always puts on a good match for anybody that's in the ring with him. Kofi Kingston, the same thing. They've given a lot of respect for Kofi Kingston the past few weeks, but, I mean, the Wyatts are just so lame. They're boring. I mean, the only thing that I look forward to is when he blows out the kerosene lamp and says, "We're here." Other than that, the Wyatts
and
are
And then he
fucked.
Blows out an electric lamp, which...
Yeah, I know. Okay, that works. Whatever, electric lamp. Just come out, do what you do, but it's nothing, so it's boring.
Yeah.
I'm tired of it.
I agree, totally. Big E Langston and CM Punk defeats Ryback and Curtis Axel. Good debut, you know, good prelude, I suppose, to Hell in a Cell. I mean, I like Big E Langston as a face. I think it was a fantastic idea. Him and for those who don't follow NXT, you know, he was one of the most over guys last year, well, at the beginning of the year with his whole five count. And he's hilarious on Twitter, and I think that this really gives him an opportunity to really really break out as a WWE superstar. He's been in the shadows of Dolph Ziggler and AJ Lee for too long, and here's his moment. So I'm a big fan of Big E Langston, and I like that they automatically gave him an Intercontinental title shot against Curtis Axel coming on Sunday.
Coming on Sunday, that's going to be great, and we'll talk about that later in the show. It was a good tag team match. CM Punk and Langston, I understand it. I get it. And Axel and Ryback together wasn't too bad of a tag team, even though they are Paul Heyman guys. It's not going to last very long, so I'm not going to dwell too much on it. But CM Punk and Langston really did shine last night. I'll give them that much. But let's see what you thought about R-Truth.
The R-Truth segment was absolutely hilarious, and I think that yes, I think it was one of the best moments on Raw, and he did it so effortlessly, he did it so seamlessly, and it really seems like he will be fantastic as a greasy car salesman that will make you have emotional buys. And then just about 93% of his clientele will leave the lot and say, what the heck did I just do? And I think that that will absolutely be his dream job. When he gets 49 years old, he leaves the WWE. He has no shot to be in the Hall of Fame. He starts his own car salesman company, the R-Truth Car Sales, and he will be a millionaire. He will get more money than he did in the WWE. I think it was fantastic.
R-Truth, OxyClean. We're selling ShamWow.
R-Truth
here.
ShamWow, exactly.
Hi, this is R-Truth. Are you feeling down in the dumps with your laundry detergent?
Yeah. Well, the truth has set you free. Yeah, he's
set you free.
Yeah, he's good. He's hilarious, and I think that's where they should keep him every Monday, you know, 20% off.
Damn.
Yeah, 20% off. You know, promo code Truth. Do it. Every Monday
finish
I want to see him there.
Finish your coupons today.
Yeah, get your coupons today because otherwise he'll just lose matches. So he might as well be the greasy salesman in the back selling merchandise, and you know, just to come out and have the same, you know, every week, you know, what's up rap, and then most likely he'll lose. He's in a much better position than he is now. Again, who did Ric Flair defeat for the WCW World Heavyweight Championship of Starrcade 93? Come on, what's up? You know, do we have modern day fans? We have many. We had many answers in the chat room. We have tweets. You know, and no go so far. No go. 93. Come on. We need some diehard traditional fans. Starrcade 93. Come on. You can picture it. Vader.
I thought you said 83.
World Heavy, 1993. Starrcade 1993. Who did Ric Flair defeat for the WCW World Heavyweight Championship? 83 was easy. 83 was Harley Race. 93 maybe. No, not Sting. Sting, that's not. Unfortunately, that's not the correct answer. Let's go to our next match. Real Americans against Tons of Funk. Throwaway match just to highlight the Cesaro swing and prepare us for the Real Americans against Los Matadores. I'm not really interested in that feud at all. And it's sad that Tons of Funk just are resident jobber tag team now. Cameron and Naomi deserve better. That's what I'll say about that.
Yeah, well, Tons of Funk, I don't think they ever really meant to be big time in WWE. Especially when the last pay-per-view, can't remember what it was called, but anyway, obviously, it was
Battleground?
Yeah, Battleground. Good job. That was a trivia question. 347-84-8452.
Yeah.
But Prince Albert, or whatever they call him now, Albert, he was with he was on the commentary table during the pre-show.
Yeah.
It was disgusting. I mean, seriously. Of course, they're not going to come out and do anything relevant because the WWE doesn't want them to do anything. And same thing with the Real Americans. I mean, they've been out for a long time. Zeb Coulter, he's been spewing his guts about hating Canadians and Mexicans and whatever, everything else. I mean, whatever. I mean, that's fine. That's wrestling. Keep that in mind, but Everett's, it's still stale. He's got Cesaro does a spin. I don't really see much going on with this WWE tag team, so what else is going to happen with them? They need to recruit somebody else or just...
I'll say this. I want so bad to see a Cesaro swing on the Big Show. Oh, man, that would be absolutely fantastic, just wonderful. We saw it on Kali. The bigger feat is the Big Show. That would be just awesome. Next, we have the Usos versus Shield. We talked about that. Leads to a no contest. Cody Rhodes and Goldust gets involved, which leads to a triple threat for not a champion for Hell in a Cell. We'll get to that later. And then finally, Randy Orton and Daniel Bryan contract signing, and Big Show appears in a semi, and, you know, that's as much as we get. Daniel Bryan goes over there and says yes, you know, with Big Show on top of the semi. I mean, I suppose, again, they're adding the Big Show. Maybe do we see all this happen just for Big Show to make a heel turn? I guess that's the question I'm going to pose to you. Is he getting all these face chants, garnering all these face chants just to get a heel, just to turn heel again?
Shawn Michaels has a lot better things to do than to rely on the Big Show for chants and everything like that. So, yeah, it was cool to see the Big Show come out in a semi or whatever he did. But, I mean, just Shawn Michaels questioned Triple H and said, what do you have against this guy? What's your problem? And Triple H didn't really have much of an answer for him. Triple H is one of those guys, I mean, he's a huge face or he's a huge heel. It just doesn't make – it's hard to transition from one to the other. What do you think of Triple H? And anytime Shawn Michaels comes out, it's a breath of fresh air almost sometimes. He needs to shave his face – to look like the original, just so I could feel like I'm 15 years old again. But anyway, it was difficult for that whole segment. Big Show comes out in a semi, kind of reminiscent of the Stone Cold thing, but, you know, it really didn't work. The whole Shawn Michaels and Triple H thing, we're buddies, but what do you have against Daniel Bryan, who Shawn Michaels trained? It's just kind of awkward. It's kind of silly, predictable. It's going to be Hell in a Cell this Sunday, so I'll leave everything else for next week. What's up?
Yeah, absolutely. Hang tight. Derek, we'll be right back with you here. Let me go over SmackDown and Impact Wrestling real quick. Again, SmackDown review. I didn't do the SmackDown review last week because of the closeness to the Bound for Glory. And, you know, I'll touch a little bit into Bound for Glory just real quick, and then we'll get over to the Flavor of the Week and then the predictions for Hell in a Cell. On SmackDown, we saw Vicky Guerrero and Brad Maddox speak in the ring. Daniel Bryan comes out and cuts a promo about Mats versus Orton. We see Rowan Harper defeat Kofi and Miz. Kofi and Miz lose again. Brie Bella defeats AJ Lee. Brie Bella gets the pin on her again. Big Show appears from the crowd, cuts a promo in the ring. Brad Maddox and Vicky Guerrero comes out, and Big Show gives Brad Maddox a sick knockout punch. That was brutal. And then we saw CM Punk defeats Big E Langston, and then we saw the turn with Big E Langston. That was fantastic. Ryback and Axel attack Punk, and then, you know, Big E makes the save. Del Rio in-ring interview, yeah, I mean, you know, even still, Del Rio's not relevant, even feuding with John Cena, which is sad. Usos defeats Real Americans, distracted by Los Matadores. And then Daniel Bryan and Goldust, Cody Rhodes defeats The Shield, which was a really good match, too. Just real quick on Bound for Glory, because I was just really dissatisfied with Bound for Glory. It was just a bit of an embarrassment. We don't have much time either. It's not really worth my time. Impact Wrestling Review, go to WrestlingInc.com. Every week, Impact Wrestling Review, SmackDown Review, check that out. Impact Wrestling with Dixie Carter, you know, just a couple highlights. Bully Ray comes out, accept the offer. They did a big $50,000 bounty throughout the show, which led to the contract signing, and Bully tried to get the bounty and was unsuccessful. So, I mean, saw some dissension with Sting and Magnus. Some good X Division match between Samoa Joe and Chris Sabin. Gunner should be he should grow into a good baby face. So, you know, hopefully we'll see that. As far as Bound for Glory is concerned, we saw Chris Sabin becoming the X Division champion again. Bro-Man's winning the tag team championship. That was horrible. Gail Kim winning the knockout championship. Kurt Angle rejecting the Hall of Fame. That was that goes to show how much TNA just really has a vested interest in themselves. That was just absolutely horrible. And then loses to Bobby Roode. Ethan Carter III, why would you make a pay-per-view debut against a jobber? And then Madness makes Sting tap out, and I guess to you know, get that rub, so to speak. We'll see where that goes. And then AJ Styles defeats Bully Ray, the best part of the night. I mean, it was a good match, and AJ Styles deserves to be champ. It's been years since he's been champ. So yeah, all the titles changed. I guess it was a good change, a good idea to do that. But not so much as far as, you know, the bromance idea was terrible. Gail Kim winning the title was kind of out left field, so not very interesting. ROH, we saw Mark Briscoe defeat Tadarius Thomas, Adam Cole in ring promo. I like Adam Cole now. I think that they really helped him as a heel, kind of gave him some personality. Elgin and Briscoe appear. Michael Bennett and Maria defeated the Brutal Burgers, Bob Evans and Cheeseburger. That was a fun, interesting match. And then Red Dragon defeats Forever Hooligans and Coleman Alexander, which was good. All right, real quick, let's do Flavor of the Week. Let's do a few more names this week. We might have to make it a part three. But, yeah, let's do three names today, and let's make it a part three. Again, we did five names before. We did Bam Bam Bigelow, Big Boss Man, Demolition, British Bulldog, and Alundra Blaze. So I have three more names for this week, and then we'll have a few more names for next week. Let's start off with Lita. Lita had a great career in the WWE. And again, this is Flavor of the Week. This is thumbs up or thumbs down. Should these people be in the Hall of Fame? So I'm going to say random names, you know, and choose thumbs up or thumbs down if they should be in the Hall of Fame or not. So we're going to go with Lita. Lita was a WWE Women's Champion, debuted with S.A. Rios, you know, became popular with being a Team Extreme with Matt and Jeff Hardy. And then, of course, really has some popularity with Edge. Lita is my all-time, she's my favorite diva. I liked the moonsault. I liked her athleticism. And she was in the last batch of divas that was actually helped the division with Trish Stratus and Victoria and Mickie James and all of them. That was the last of the Mohicans, so to speak. And I really think that Lita should be in the Hall of Fame. I really think that she did a fantastic job holding her own in the Trish Stratus era with her and Victoria and Mickie James. Thumbs
definitely
up for me.
I agree. Thumbs up. I mean, Lita, she actually had talent. She could hold the WWE Divas division down by herself. She could have went out and wrestled a cardboard box, and it would have made sense because she was that good. And the thing with the WWE division now, as far as the Divas division, I mean, it's absolutely disgraceful. It's horrible. It's disgusting. I don't really care to talk about it, but Lita was one of the last few that actually made the Divas division really worth watching, and I love to watch it. She was great. She was beautiful. She had moves. She could really put a match on and make you want to watch it because she was that good. So I absolutely agree with you 100%. Thumbs up. Lita, probably the last of the Divas that really made a difference in WWE.
Yeah, totally. And there's a rumor that she's no longer dating CM Punk, but now AJ Lee is in her spot. So, very interesting. Punk is just going around the wheel with WWE Divas there. Earthquake.
He should marry Ric Flair.
He should marry Ric Flair.
Honestly,
okay.
He's that good.
Very bold statement there. Earthquake is our next name there. This really became popular with coming in with Dino Bravo. He made his debut, Dino Bravo's feuding with Ultimate Warrior, and he had a push-up contest, and he had him sit on the Earthquake. Earthquake sit on Ultimate Warrior and see if he could push him up. And it was just a big ruse, and Earthquake, you know, joined Dino Bravo and Jimmy Hart, and there you go. And then he, natural disasters, and then he just kind of went off from there. That was really it as far as his relevance is concerned when he was with the natural disasters. And even with when he was Earthquake, he even feuded against Hogan. I mean, that was probably his best moment when he was feuding with Hogan. And that's about it. I mean, you got your Dungeon of Doom, you got your, was he the Shark, and then he became John Tenta, his real name, and, you know, he said, I'm not a shark, I'm not an animal, you know, he just broke off from Dungeon of Doom and just became irrelevant. Then he goes to the WWE and joins the Oddities, and unfortunately passed not too long after that. And so, as the Earthquake, does he make the Hall of Fame? I'm going to say, unfortunately, thumbs down.
Thumbs down. That's hard to say because I couldn't remember. He was SummerSlam 1990 against Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
That's a big deal. I mean, he put Hulk Hogan out for a while when he sat on his chest and did his big stomp and everything. What can you do for that guy? I would almost give a thumbs up just for the fact that he headlined WrestleMania 90. Not that he really deserved it, but he was in the spotlight and he did it.
Mm-hmm.
With the natural disasters, with Typhoon, used to be Tugboat, and then the Shark, John Tenta, and came in with Dino Bravo. He was surrounded by a lot of good people, people that could really make him what he was. And what he did, I would just give him a thumbs up for the fact that he did actually headline the SummerSlam. Not that he deserved it, but he was there. It was almost believable for me back, I'm thinking, when I was a kid, 9 years old, and Earthquake sat on Hulk Hogan. I was devastated. And I give him a thumbs up just for the fact that it added shock value, and I believed in the Earthquake. I believe in it. So, yeah, I give him a thumbs up just for the fact that it affected me. So, it was something. It was something. John Tenta, rest in peace.
Yeah. Died in 06. Sad to hear that. So, you kind of had a change of heart, I see. That's very interesting and warm. All right, next we have, lastly, before we get to the predictions, we have One Man Gang. Now, One Man Gang's been everywhere. He wrestled for, you know, World Class. He wrestled for WCW, NWA. He wrestled for GWF. He wrestled for WWE. He's just been around everywhere. And then the Twin Towers, when he was Akeem, with the Big Boss Man, it was with Slick. It was just a really interesting overhaul for him. And Akeem, the African Dream. And it was really funny. I thought it was hilarious character. It was totally outside of the chain toting one man gang, you know, skull and bones type of guy that we saw for so long. Grew his hair out, become the whole Jive So Bro. It was hilarious. It didn't last long because, yeah, I'm sure many people were like, "What?" It was a surprise. But I'm actually going to give One Man Gang a thumbs up. He was around, you know, he's been around the block for a long time. He's put his dues in the WWE and just everywhere. And I think that because he wrestled for so long and just I think it was the late 70s when he debuted, and as far as I'm concerned, from what I know, last time I researched, he's still doing some light indie work, and so I mean, you're talking, you know, 36 years that he's been wrestling. And so, yeah, I mean, he didn't have a big title in the WWE, but at the same time, you know, UWF, when he was with Bill Watts, he was a world champion there. But it's, interestingly enough, in the WCW, never won a big title, never won a big title in WWE, but he was known and he was important. I mean, well, he was the United States heavyweight champion for a brief time in the WCW, but that's about it. I mean, that's a career achievement for him. So, but at the same time, he's been around for so long. He's put his dues in. And so I would definitely give the one-man gang a thumbs up.
Yeah, me too. I definitely would. WrestleMania 4, he went up against Macho Man Randy Savage before Macho
yep.
Man had to fight the...
DiBiase.
Ted DiBiase. No, you said it before I did. That's not fair. Anyway, he put his mark in. He really did. And with WCW and all the other GWF, all the other federations that he was with, I give him a thumbs up because he definitely deserves it. He put his mark in. He put his work in. He was the one-man gang. That's all I need to say. I remember him. Everybody remembers him. He was a huge person back in the 80s as far as just a villain, a heel that everybody went up against. So, yeah. He's somebody that you remember. He's somebody everyone remembers if you are old-school WWE, old school wrestling. So I think he definitely deserves to be in there, and I'd love to see him. I would vote him in.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, let's get to the night of the Hell of a Cell predictions here. There's only five scheduled matches, and that's something else I just don't like about what we're seeing here. It's just, you know, you get like five matches advertised, and then they throw a match or two in just randomly. Like, what in the world is that? People pay $45 and, you know, that's for a minor pay-per-view just to get five advertised matches and then one or two thrown in matches and a lot of people and a lot of talking segments, and even had a commercial. I think it was Night of Champions, and just horrible formatting of pay-per-view now. Just totally not for it. But let's get to the first match. I mean, of course, we don't know the order yet, but we'll go with just, I guess, order of importance. AJ Lee against Brie Bella for the Divas Championship. We've seen Brie Bella pin AJ Lee, you know, like two times consecutively. And Brie Bella is just not that person to be the top baby face for the Divas division. Definitely going with AJ Lee on this one.
Yeah, me too. AJ Lee is definitely going to win. And she's the only one that's really prominent with the Divas division, the only one that I really remember because I don't pay too much attention to it. I know the Bella Twins, but I honestly don't believe that they're going to do anything to help the Divas division. So AJ Lee is the only one that's really prominent. Keep her going.
Yeah. Curtis Axel against Big E Langston in a kickoff. Oh, man, I really, really, really want Big E Langston to win. I mean, my heart, my gut, my mind, everything in me says Big E Langston, let's go. I'm a big Big E Langston fan, even when he was a heel. And but I don't think they're going to give him the nod yet. It's unfortunate. I mean, he should beat Curtis Axel because I wrote on BleacherReport.com. Basically, the rumored feud for the expected feud for Big E Langston after this subsides is Ryback, and so Big E Langston against Ryback for the Intercontinental Champion would add a spark to the feud. It would be an interesting feud, kind of, because Ryback isn't very relevant to me anymore. We never really was, to be honest with you, other than his face run last year. But other than that, has not been too good. But I don't know. I still think they want to make Curtis Axel relevant, And the only thing, the only lifeline that he has right now is that Intercontinental Championship. And I really don't think they're going to get it off of him just because they understand that he doesn't have any charisma. He's just not over, even with Paul Heyman. But him being Intercontinental Champion at least makes him important, seemingly. And because of that, I think they're going to keep it on him. I don't like that they're going to do that. I hope Big E wins. I hope I'm wrong. But unfortunately, I'm going to go with Curtis Axel.
Big E's going to lose. There's no question to it. They're going to keep it on Curtis Axel. Big E Langston is pretty much almost a nobody with the WWE. He's not important. They're going to keep it on Curtis Axel just for the fact that he's with Paul Heyman. Blah, 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 blah. Jim Cornette for life. However, they'll keep it on Curtis Axel, so I totally agree. Curtis Axel will come out the winner, whether it's going to be by himself or by interference of some way. Curtis Axel for sure.
Unfortunately, in my eyes. Goldust and Cody Rhodes defending their tag team titles against the Shield and the Usos. I think that the Rhodes boys are going to keep it. I think that they're just one of the hottest commodities going on right now, and I think the WWE is not going to be stupid enough to extinguish that. And I think that eventually it's going to lead to one of them turning. My guess would be Goldust, and leading into a match between the two of them. So they're going to keep the titles until we see that big turn moment, which is good, which is going to make for a good build and a good angle going hopefully into WrestleMania with Dusty being the special guest referee. So keep it on the boys, keep it on the Rhodes brothers, and that's what most likely we'll see. I believe that's what we'll see.
I'm sure that's what we'll see. I don't know so much about them breaking up anytime soon. I don't want to see that. Don't say that. I love Goldust and I love Cody Rhodes being together. That's absolutely wonderful. They will win this Sunday, I believe. But, the breakup, it's going to be intimate soon. So, but in the short run, I believe that the Team Goldust will win this weekend, or Team Rhodes will win, and let's keep this thing going between the two, and it's the best thing that WWE has going right now. Honestly, it is.
Yeah, definitely. Just a reaction says it all. Next, we'll have CM Punk going against Ryback and Paul Heyman. I'm just not interested in this match. I have no interest in this match whatsoever. We're not going to see some type of swerve. We're not going to see a turn. We're not going to see interference, maybe Big E Langston. But that, I mean, I like Big E a lot, and I like the fact that they made him face on SmackDown, and it looks like they're giving him a push. I'm a big fan of, you know, a potential push for the Big E Langston. But him interfering in this match won't really make it that relevant, because we saw CM Punk against Ryback at Night of Champion at Battleground, and it was an absolute flop. It's not gonna make it any better that they're in the Hell in a Cell, and Punk's gonna win this because I don't see him losing, and then we'll see more Punk and Heyman. I don't see that, although he did beat Ryback last month. You know what? I'm going to say this. I think somehow we'll see a cheap win. It's a handicap match. It's in the Cell. We'll see a cheap win by Ryback and Heyman, but I don't want to see it. I'm not a big Punk fan. Well, I'm not a Punk fan at all. I mean, I respect his work tremendously, but I'm not a fan of him as a personality. But you know, cheap win by Ryback and Heyman.
Yeah, cheap win. That's pretty much all you got to say about it. I mean, that's too bad. It's going to be a snoozer. It's going to be a boring match. It's not going to have any. It's not going to be a Hell in a Cell match that we're used to seeing at all. Everyone, this is Derek from Pancakes and Power Slams. I'm going to leave it up to Chris Featherstone. Good night. Love you all. 347-884-8452. Pancakes and Power Slams, keep it in your back pocket. We love you. Good night.
Well, there's more. Randy Orton and Daniel Bryan, Hell in a Cell match.
There's one more. How can I forget?
There's two more here. Randy Orton and we'll do Alberto Del Rio for John Cena for the World Heavyweight Championship. Goes to show how much how interesting the pay per view is going to be. Not too much. We haven't even mentioned the World Championships. We'll start with the World Heavyweight Championship. Will they give it to John Cena? It will revive the title picture unquestionably. It will unquestionably revive the title picture if they gave it to John Cena. I just don't think they believe that Cena should be involved in the World Heavyweight Championship after this, like as a mainstay. I think that it will work. I think that Cena's World Heavyweight Championship won't dilute him at all. But I don't see him going. I don't see him coming. But the thing is, it's kind of a big return for him. I tell you what we're going to see. We're going to see Cena win, and we're going to see Del Rio beat up Cena, and we're going to see Sandow cash it in at Hell in a Cell.
Yeah, that could work. Hopefully. John Cena, I actually want to see him win. I never say that again, but that's what I want.
You and me both. Real quick, give us our best 30 seconds here. Randy Orton and Daniel Bryan, Hell in a Cell match. Michaels is referee. Michaels is going to be involved somehow. I think he's going to reluctantly help Randy Orton win and eventually be a babyface and help Daniel Bryan in the long run. But somehow he'll reluctantly help Randy Orton win because of something that happened. So Randy Orton's going to be champ.
Yeah, he probably will. I mean, if they don't put the belt on Daniel Bryan, what else are they going to do? I mean, it's so boring. Again, Randy Orton is such a – he's a – what I want to call a useless character. Nothing good can come out of what we've seen out of Randy Orton. He's boring. Nothing. Yes. Daniel Bryan. Let's give him the belt, but – I don't think it's going to happen, and that's just my opinion. So, Pancakes and Power Slams, Chris Featherstone.
I agree. 3-4, thank you very much, Derek, for your wonderful input today. 347-884-8452 is the number to put in your back pocket. Vader is the correct answer. Come on, wrestling minds. You know, all these wrestling pros here. Come on, we need some. I'm gonna ask more questions like I do with trivia all the time every week. We need some more. We had a bunch of interaction, but it wasn't the right interaction. You know, we had some incorrect answers. So we're gonna go forward just like we do every week next week. You know, wrong tweets, wrong chat room questions. I'm gonna ask those type of questions again, and you know, just answer them correct next time. But we're going to continue to have some fun. Fantastic interaction today in the chat room. Fantastic interaction in the tweet and in Twitter at Crave Wrestling. For next week, we're going to go Hell in a Cell, review some fun additions that we're going to do, continuing to tweak the format, 82 shows and counting. Thank you so much. 347-884-8452. Tweet at Crave Wrestling. Follow Crave Wrestling. And until then, follow Crave Wrestling on Facebook, email cravewrestling@gmail.com. Until next week, have a great week of wrestling, and God bless. Goodbye.